Zechariah chapter 10 and the verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. We have now entered into 2009. It is a very special year, as we have been reminded even last year, because 2009 marks the 150th anniversary of a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this island of Ireland, and particularly upon the northern province of Ulster. A mighty move of God, where many were ushered into the kingdom and God's church was powerfully built up. But the text that greets us this morning, the promise of revival, let this word be the word that greets us as we commence this new year in God's house. You will notice the context of this verse is a context of plenty. It is a context of blessing. The promise of plenty is seen there in chapter 9, verse 17. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. So it's a context of plenty. Plenty of corn, so much so that even the young people are cheerful and glad. So much wine, so great a harvest, that even the humble maids are glad and rejoicing. It is a context of plenty. And then at the end of verse 1 also you see there, to everyone, no exception, to everyone grass in the field, a full harvest for man and for beast. The context is a context of plenty. But you will notice that the promise of plenty does not mean a spirit of carelessness. The promise of plenty does not mean a spirit of indolence or apathy among the people of God. The promise of plenty, corn to make the young men cheerful, new wine the maids, but the verse that comes next is ask. Ask. Promise of plenty, but the verse that comes after it doesn't say sit. The verse doesn't say weep. The verse doesn't say sit back and it'll all come to you. No, a promise of plenty, but the next word is ask. Ask. God's promises do not create a spirit of apathy. The promises of God should not lead to prayerlessness. The promises of God should not lead to carelessness. The Bible is full of exceeding great and precious promises, and not one of them is given to discourage prayer. Quite the reverse. They are given to encourage prayer. They are given to make us ask, to make us seek. A promise of plenty, and yet God says, ask. The promises are incentives to prayer. Every promise, if you like, is like a divinely signed check. And it's no good carrying a check in your pocket. To get the sum and the substance of the check, to get the promised amount on the check, you have to cash it in. And that's what you have to do with the promises of God. Every promise is a check, and at the bottom of the check is this word, ask. Every promise has after it, ask ye of the Lord. My sermon is simple this morning. Its proposition is in the first word of the text, the first word of our English version, but also the first word of the Hebrew text, the first word, ask. That's my sermon this morning. Ask. That's its title today. That's the word, brethren and sisters, I want you to take home with you. That's the word I want the Holy Spirit to burn into our hearts. That's the word I want to come back to our remembrance. Day in and day out through 2009. And every time that we meet in this house, this is the word that I want to come back to our thoughts. A word from God. Ask. That's the word we need to follow. That's the word we need to obey. That's the word we need to practice. And that's the word that surely the Lord meets us with at the door of his house on this New Year day. The word of the Lord is ask. Here's a word the Lord loves. Ask. This is a word the Lord delights in. It is, of course, a command. It is in the imperative. But it is a word which is pleasurable. A word that is delightful. It is a gracious and a kind command. Let us think about this word on the lips of Almighty God. I think on the lips of Almighty God, that's a word that ought to amaze us. The Almighty God, to us sinners, to us poor and needy people, says ask. Now I think that ought to amaze us. That ought to challenge us. That ought to stir us. We ought to be just simply lost in wonderment that God has on his lips this word. Ask. Ask. We are poor and needy. If a rich benefactor should come in the midst of us and say, ask. And we knew that he was rich. We knew that he was all-powerful. We knew that he was all-sufficient. We knew that he was true and sincere and earnest. And if he came into the midst and said, ask, I tell you, he would be knocked down. And he'd be inundated by requests from society. And yet our God comes, the richest benefactor of all. Our God comes, and upon his mouth is this word, ask, ask. And what do his people do? They're silent. The Lord is an omnipotent and an all-sufficient benefactor. You can ask, and God will give, and he'll be none the poorer. He'll be as rich and as full and as all-sufficient with all our asking. The earth is his. The fullness thereof is his, the Bible says. Every beast of the forest is his. All the fowls of the air are his. The silver is his. The gold is his. The cattle upon 1,000 hills is his. He says, ask. He's able to provide. And not only is he a rich benefactor, he is true and earnest and sincere. There's no reason to doubt his word. He is truth. He's not a man that he should repent. And so when he says, ask, you can be sure he's earnest. You can be sure he's sincere. You can be sure he's true. He's not like man. He's not like the government who might say, ask. And when you come knocking at the door, there's a whole pile of bureaucratic forms to fill in and all the rest. And by the end of the day, you find you get nothing and you get nowhere. God's not like that. He's true and earnest and sincere, and he says, ask. And time again, he comes with this word upon his lips. And if not this word, its equivalents, call, seek. It's a word he delights in. It's a word he is always speaking into our ear. He's always imploring us. He's always reasoning with us about this matter of prayer and asking and petition. He's always encouraging us to the throne of grace. He's always providing incentives. He's always goading us on to simply ask. It's something he delights in. Let me show you several texts where God shows his delight in this word. You'll remember Psalm 2. The word is to the Lord Jesus, of course, the Psalm 2 and the verse 8, but it is also to us, the members of Christ. And what does the Father say to his Son in Psalm 2, verse 8? Ask of me. One of the greatest ministries that the Lord Jesus Christ is presently engaged in is the ministry of intercession at the right hand of the Father. And he has every encouragement in that ministry. Because he's a word from the Father. Ask of me. But that word is a word to us as well. A word to us who are the members of Christ. A word to us who are to pray for all men and to ask things of God and to be interceders. And the same word for us is ask. Ask of me. It's a word God delights in. And surely we stand rebuked at the end of another year and at the commencement of another. This is our great sin. We haven't asked. We fail to ask. God's telling us something. Let this year be different. Ask. Ask of me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ giving us lessons again in the ministry of prayer. In verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then the Lord goes on to enlarge, goading us on, giving us incentives, reasoning with us about this matter of asking, what man is there of you, whom if he, his son, ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? There you have it again. Ask him. It's on the mouth of Christ, goading us, urging us on. Ask. Ask. It's how he begins this paragraph. Ask, and it'll be given you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. If a man asks bread, is asked for bread by his son. If he's asked for a fish by his son, what will he give him? Won't he give him those things? How much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask? John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and the verse 23. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. There it is again. Your Savior says to you, ask. Ask in my name. Ask the Father in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That your joy may be full. It's always upon the Lord's lips. Always encouraging us in this matter. Always goading us on. James chapter 1. Just one or two other references just to show how earnest the Lord is in this matter. James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The lack might be anything. Do you lack power? Do you lack love? If any of you lack, let him ask. James chapter 4 verse 2, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts and that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have. This is written to a body of believers and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye have not, ye ask not. Fighting and bickering, discontent, not getting what you want. There's a whole war going on, and at the bedrock of it all is this. You're not asking God. You're not asking. It's a word the Lord loves. It's a word often on his lips. It's his word to you this morning. Ask. But let us make sure it is the Lord that we do ask. You will notice that the text says, ask ye of the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord. Rain. It is to be the Lord that we are to ask. Now, of course, by reminding you of this, I remind you of several things. I remind you, first of all, of the sin of idolatry. It's only the Lord you're to ask, not the saints, not any inferior idols or deities. Verse 2, we're reminded, for the idols have spoken vanity and the diviners have seen a lie. There are lesser men that are looked to and called upon. We are not idolaters. We only call upon the Lord. The true and the living God, God our Father, and we call only upon him through the mediator, the Lord Jesus. We come to him in the way that he has appointed. It is of the Lord we are to ask. But not only is idolatry ruled out in this text, ask ye of the Lord, it also reminds us that we must avoid trusting in means. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. In other words, the Lord alone is to be the object of our trust. The Lord alone is the one that we are to come before to ask us for a blessing. Now we know the Lord uses means. We recognize that. But we don't trust in the means. We don't pray to the means. We don't live as if the means are the end all and the be all. No, we look beyond the means to trust in the Lord and to ask the Lord to use the means that he's appointed to give us the blessing. Means are very important. In the context of rain here, the means of bringing the rain are the clouds. But we never pray to the clouds. We never look to the clouds to be to us the source of blessing and to bring the blessing to us. And our eyes are to the clouds, and our heart is to the clouds, and our trust is in the clouds, and our prayers and our petitions are to the clouds. We don't do that. Yes, we know the clouds bring water. We know they are the means that God has appointed. But we know that God forms the clouds. God sends the clouds. God fills the clouds. God opens the clouds. God brings the rain, and God brings the blessing by means of the rain. It's to the Lord that we look. And so while there is rain and clouds in the context of the verse, all the means of a harvest, all the means of blessing, yet it is the Lord we are to ask. It is the Lord we are to look to. And in the house of God there are means of blessing. Yes, the minister is a means of blessing, because the minister preaches the word of God. But you don't look to the minister, and you don't trust in the minister, as if he's the end all and the be all and the one who brings blessing to you. You know that. Ask ye of the Lord, and don't be looking to the minister, and don't be thinking he's something special. He's nothing. A mere cloud the Lord can blow here today and blow away tomorrow. It's the Lord you need to look to. Ask ye of the Lord and look to the Lord for blessing. Because he's the only one who'll bring you blessing. He's the only one who'll pour the rain upon you. So this command to ask of the Lord, not only does it rule out idolatry, it rules out trusting and looking to the means alone. And of course, this command means that we should shun prayerlessness, doesn't it? Ask ye of the Lord. It's no good talking about prayer. It's no good speaking about the philosophy or the theology of prayer. Get before the Lord. Ask of the Lord. It's the practice of theology that we should endeavor in this house. Let us not be men and women who have our heads swell with theology in its intellectual content. But it is the practice of godliness. It's asking of the Lord. It's coming before him. It's not thinking about prayer. It's not talking about prayer. It's actually getting before the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord. So it's a word the Lord delights in. And it is the Lord that we are to ask. It's a wonderful simplicity too about the word, isn't it? The Lord just simply says, ask. There's nothing complicated about asking. You can tell that to a child. Just ask, son. And the child will know what that means. The Lord is not complicated in this matter. There's no bureaucratic system of forms and of procedures to get the Lord's attention. No, the Lord has given us his attention. It's our attention he wants. And he simply says, ask. There's a simplicity about it, isn't it? Prayer is simple. It's just asking. And I want you to recognize also that this is a corporate command, because the text says, ask ye of the Lord rain. It's plural. And therefore, the congregation is addressed. Private prayer is very important. And the Lord says things about private prayer and family prayers. The Lord has given direction on closet praying. And there are things that just cannot be asked for publicly. But this can. And this ought to be. The ask here is a command to public prayer. The ask here is a command to corporate praying. It is a call to congregational prayer. And I have to remind you, brethren and sisters, God wants us to feel our corporate responsibility. He hasn't set us out a finger out there, and a thumb out there, and a big toe out there. No, he's brought us into a body. He's brought us into a congregation, covenant community, by our membership to this body. And therefore we have our corporate responsibilities. And one of them is to ask about this matter. Ask ye of the Lord. We are to ask corporately. Prayer is a very important part of God's worship in his house. Not only as praise, but also as petition. We are to ask corporately. Now, most often, of course, the minister will lead in that. And the voice shall be mine. But I need you behind me, brethren and sisters. I need you with me. And while the voice is one, the hearts, which are many, are also one. One mind, one spirit, one heart, one voice in prayer to God about this matter. To us, he says, as a body, ask. So let's bring great petitions to a great King. One whose lips to us and whose word for us this morning is simply ask. Ask ye of the Lord. And then, of course, we have our times of congregational prayer, and they're very important, and we need to come together and pray and ask. Ask ye of the Lord. Here's a word for the church today. A word for the congregation. If the congregation is to know blessing, the congregation is to ask for it. If the congregation is to benefit corporately, then the congregation needs to ask corporately. Congregational prosperity requires congregational praying. It does. If the congregation is going to know a harvest, if the congregation is going to know a revival, if the congregation is going to know a blessing of Almighty God, then the congregation is going to have to ask. And what is the great thing that the people of God must make earnest corporate requests for? Ask ye of the Lord rain. The promise of corn and the promise of new wine, the promise of grass in the field, either as food for the beasts or as wheat for man, is all dependent on one thing. Rain is the great thing that we need. No rain, no life, no growth, no harvest, no revival, no blessing. No rain, only death, dearth, and famine. Rain is the great thing. Rain is the one thing needful. In the material world, it is so. And God has always made the material world to be a mirror of spiritual truths and of the spiritual world. Everything he made in the world mirrors divine and spiritual truths. And the great need in the material world is rain. In the material world, only 3% of the world's water is fresh water. Very much of that fresh water is laid up in several very great lakes and several very great rivers, such as the Amazon. 3% of the world's water is fresh. And upon that fresh water, all life depends. Every life needs it. Animal life, vegetable life, human life, materially speaking. All life is dependent upon fresh water. And that fresh water, which is perpetually flowing into the oceans of the salt sea, that fresh water only comes down to us as rain. The great essential of life. We are dependent upon rain in the material world. It is the one thing the animal creation needs. And God has mirrored that on spiritual things and transforming that to the spiritual realm. The life of the congregation, the spiritual life of the congregation, the spiritual life of the believer is dependent upon one thing, fresh supplies of rain from above, mighty effusions of God the Holy Spirit upon us. We need rain. The rain is the symbol of God bringing life and vitality to the congregation. The pouring out of the waters from above is symbolic of our need. And that's why the Lord says, ask ye of the Lord rain. Do we feel our barrenness, brethren and sisters? Do we feel the dearth all around us? Do we feel the famine in our soul? Are we hungry and thirsty? Are we sensitive that we are a people in need? Then we shall ask of the Lord that which will meet our need, rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain. God's word and God's spirit are symbolized by rain. I'll not turn you to all the texts, but for example in Isaiah chapter 55, I may be enlarging this some other time, but Isaiah chapter 55, as the rain, verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. The rain is the symbol of God's word, but not the symbol of God's word alone, the symbol of God's word coming down with his power and presence and himself. And so therefore the symbol of rain is also the symbol of God, the Holy Spirit coming down. The Lord will come down like rain upon the mown grass. He is rain. He in the energy of his Holy Spirit. He in the power of his Holy Spirit bringing his word, the means of life, the means of growth, the means of blessing to the flock. It's God coming down in the blessings of his word for his poor needy people, bringing Christ in the gospel, bringing Christ in the word. All these things are latent in this idea of rain. It's what we need. We need the word of God accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing life to sinners, bringing growth to the people of God, bringing awakening, bringing budding, bringing fruit, so that our barren congregation and our barren hearts will become a fruitful field, a grass field, a grass full of fruit and harvest. Food in abundance for us, to every one grass in the field. It is rain that we are to ask for. I want you to notice particularly the time when we must be earnest about this rain, because the Lord says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Israel, of course, had two rainy seasons. The first one was at the seed time. It was needed to impregnate the seed when sown to give it its first life, to commence the growth. But unless there was the latter rain near the harvest time, the grain would not ripen and fully develop, and it wouldn't be ready for cutting down. So the latter rain is particularly the harvest rain. The latter rain was essential so that that first growth fully developed and there was a full harvest and a full blessing. The latter rain, therefore, in the Bible is particularly associated with blessing. The latter rain is particularly identified with great increase, and the congregation needs it. And when there's no sign of it, the congregation has to rise up and pray in the time when we need it, in the time when it ought to be coming. In that time we ought to be particularly rising up and asking of the Lord rain. in the time of the latter rain. It's the time. It's the time for the Lord to work. It's the time when we need to see God move. We've had the former rain. We had the former rain at our conversion, perhaps. Or we had the former rain at the commencement of our congregation here in Guildford when it was established. And there was the early rain, and there was the blessing that accompanied that. But the former is past. The former is history. The former is behind us. Now we need the latter. Now we need the great increase. The former is a pledge of the latter. The former is a precursor of the latter. But we still need the latter. Surely, brethren and sisters, it is the time of the latter rain. The months and the years have passed. The latter rain is needed. We've had the seed time. Now, Lord, we need the harvest. Send the rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And I want you to notice finally what we are promised if we ask truly in faith. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. It's a wonderful promise, because the Lord never says ask, but he gives a promise. And if he says ask, and if we ask of the rain, him for the rain, the promise is the Lord will make bright clouds. That's the first thing. We'll see the clouds. We'll see the bright clouds. The clouds, the precursors of the rain, the symbols of the rain coming. The word is lightning clouds. These are bright clouds. These are noisy clouds. Because not only is there lightning in these clouds, there's thunder in these clouds as well. Not the rain yet. Only the clouds. The cloud the size of a man's hand. The precursor of something great. The precursor of something special. The lightning of God's noise. The bright clouds. The spark here and there. A conversion here and there. A bright hope here and there. But a cloud the size of a man's hand here and there. But it encourages. It's the time of the latter rain. We should therefore pray all the more. The precursors are in the sky. Therefore ask all the more. Ask ye of the Lord rain. Not only will he send the brightening clouds, but he send the showers as well. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them, graciously give them from above showers of rain. Literally it is, rains of heavy rain. A powerful outpouring of the Spirit. And then, following that, of course, abundance. In the field. The field is the world. The field is the province. There's very little fruit in the field at the moment. Dry and barren and lifeless and dead. There are plenty of people in the field, but there's nothing happening in the field. Why is there no grass? Why is there no grass for every soul winner? Why is it a dead sea? There's only one reason why. The rain hasn't come. The mighty effusion of God the Holy Spirit, accompanying his word with power, has not yet descended on the field. That's the only reason. And that's why God says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Let that be our text. Let that be our word as a congregation for this year ahead. Let us not fail in our asking. Let us ask of the Lord this rain. Let us seek him until he comes and pours out the windows of heaven and pours us out a blessing so there will not be room enough even to receive it. Ask.